by their fruits. In other words, observe, this is not a judgment call. God is explaining to us how we will know how to make a good judgment, a real biblical judgment. He says, do men gather grapes of thorns, of figs from thistles? No, sir. In other words, he's trying to tell us that it should be so obvious that you can't miss. Good Lord, we need a lot of help. Okay? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree brings forth corrupt or bad fruit. That's right. Listen to me. You got a beautiful pear tree, beautiful apple tree in your yard, and every one of them are rotten. Every year, they're shriveled up, lousy-looking apples. You got a bad tree. How do you know that, Floyd? It looks good to me. See, the way you judge a fruit tree is by the fruit. See, fruit tree. If you've got a pecan tree and there never are any pecans on it, or they never come to maturity, they just, you know, get acorn size and drop and that's it. Especially, let me tell you, see, we're from over, Shirley's over in Louisiana, her home, and there are huge pecan farms over there. And I'm talking about, that's how these people back when we were young, they would make several $100,000 a year off of pecans. Now, if little acorn-sized pecans start falling off, you put a couple of years like that, and you will reach a conclusion. These are bad pecan trees. Why? No good fruit. No good fruit. All right? Look, it's obvious how stupid we must be to God. Has anyone observed how childish these examples are? You know, all right, gang, a fruit tree that has good fruit is a good tree. Oh, this is deep. Don't go too fast, Lord. I'm having a hard time keeping up. You see what I'm getting at? God, don't you understand what I'm trying to tell you tonight is, God literally takes us by the hand and treats us like what we are because He's trying to get a point over. We are to be dependent on Him. We're the sheep. He's the shepherd. We're supposed to follow, and if we can't, let's get on His shoulders or in His lap. But see, we Texicans don't like that. Spread my John Wayne feet. I can take on the world. God says, okay, kid, how did you do when your savings and loan went under? You know, where you had your $50,000 that you had done it your own way. You did it your way. Oh, well, Lord, that's serious. You know, we're talking serious now. That's money. That's, you know, we were talking about immortal souls before that. That wasn't so serious. But man, now we're talking about something important now, money. Verse 18. See, some of you say, listen to me. Some of you aren't going to like the next statement. I have warned you, many of you, from time to time, because it is my job. I am a shepherd of God's flock. I am not a hireling. A hireling, when he sees the wolf, will do nothing about it. A hireling will let you guys get eaten by wolves in sheep's clothing and say nothing, so I'll always sound so Christian. Some of you don't know what Christian sounds like. Jesus said, thou hypocrite, that was Christian. How can that be Christian? Jesus said it. It makes it Christian. I don't know if you understand that, but I'm trying to keep this real simple. Now, see it. Do you all see it? Yes, I'm making a caricature of it. But I'm doing it to keep us all from breaking down and crying. I mean, when God gets this simple, He is speaking. He's making a point that judging is so important. He's making it so simple. Even Floyd won't miss it. I mean, come on, God. Have a little respect for all my, you know, years at the university. God says, Floyd, you don't gather grapes from thorn trees. Okay. You hear me? God wants us to view ourselves as He views us. The comparison, see, that's the horror of the faith teaching, is how far they've got us as being gods. But verse 18, I'm going to have to call it to your attention. Some of you are going to get very upset with me about it, but I'd like for you to notice that the subject has to do with false teachers, false prophets, and judging and how you can know. And God says this, a good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, neither can a corrupt tree. A corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. That isn't what most of you believe. Most of you simply don't believe Jesus. I'm glad somebody in here has got a red letter Bible, so that at least that you know that this is not my personal opinion, that it's Jesus's. Some of you literally believe you can go listen to all these false teachers, some of these teachers that are just throwing out a little Bible here and personal doctrines constantly. Oh, Jesus, he was rich, had a big campaign going, and man, he wore designer clothes and all this stuff. Yeah, 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 my stars. And the widow that threw the mite in, she was rich. I mean, you know when you take the obvious truth of Scripture and reverse it? You know, the test of a teaching is who gets glory. The man or Jesus? If you want to know the test of a teaching, if a child can't understand it, he missed it. You let a child read those verses and see. Let him tell you, what did that say to you? And believe me, if you let a child read the story of the widow and her mites, you say, oh, but the child doesn't know Greek. Glory! But the child doesn't know Hebrew. Hallelujah! If you were a Greek or a Hebrew, you need that. He said, but the originals, you hadn't seen an original, neither have I. God can speak fluent English. I've heard it. Scared the bejuniors out of me. You hear that? Didn't ask him for a repeat performance. Now, I'm sorry, y'all. But people that spew forth bad fruit simply don't have any good fruit to give because there's an ulterior purpose behind it. Whether they are aware of it or not, Satan is. And he knows whose voice they're hearing. I'm telling you, I'm hearing a lot of men telling me they're hearing from God. But when I hear what they say, it's not biblical. So I know that they're either lying or they're hearing deceiving spirits. And I don't care which is the truth. See, that is not my judgment call. My judgment is on what they're saying. Does it square with Scripture? Does your religious experience square with Scripture? Floyd, I was slain in the Spirit, knocked backwards. Well, the only people in the Bible that ever got knocked backwards were the pagans that came to arrest Jesus in the garden. Is that you? Now, the men of God in the Bible that were overcome by the awesome presence of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God, all fell on their face. You see, but it happened to me. You don't think you're capable of deception? Well, you look me in these blue eyes. I'm capable of being deceived. And I've been deceived. And I dare say it hadn't happened for the last time yet. You say, I can't believe men of God get deceived. Men of God deny Jesus Christ 3 times in one night. That's what men of God do. Men of God have 700 wives and 300 concubines. Men of God put contracts out on loyal friends to sleep with their wives. Oh! That's what pagans do. Not much difference, is there? You know Solomon observed that very thing in Ecclesiastes? See, but the difference, you say, well, what's the difference? The difference is that the Christian that does that, the Holy Spirit's job is to bring him to repent so that he can go to sleep with peace with God. And the pagan never goes to sleep with peace from God. You say, well, I remember when I was a pagan, I slept pretty well. That's because you turned up the television, turned up the radio. Listen. You know the horror, you want to know the horror of Christianity? We do just like all the pagans. We get in that car. We can't get in the car without turning on the music. Can't come in the house without turning on the television, turning on the music. Anything but thinking. I do not want any quiet time with God. Whatever. He might answer one of my asketh's. And it might not be what I want to hear. What I'm saying is, listen to me. Some of you say, well, Floyd, you guys like you're always talking about hearing from God, asking and receiving. I never receive. I never hear. First of all, if God can get it over, whether you got the television on or radio on or not, he can knock you flat with it if he wishes to. How many of you have ever noticed in the Scriptures many times it speaks of the voice of God sounding like a trumpet blast? But there's also places in Scripture that Edgar that talks about a still small voice. You know, the problem with us Baptists is we take the one on the still small voice and use that as the only way God ever talked to anybody. But there's trumpet blasts from God too. Stood their hair up on their neck practically, you know. So they went to Moses and said, "Man, it scared the bejuniors out of us. Tell God we don't want to ever hear His voice like that again." In other words, see, they didn't want to obey Moses. They wanted to go, they wanted to go straight to the horse. So God spoke. Scared them. You say, "Well, God doesn't have to speak that thunderously. Why doesn't God just talk sweet like we're doing now? You know, calm." He did. For 3.5 years. And we murdered Him over it. Do you understand what I just said? Our fallen natures, yes, we have a renewed spirit, but our fallen nature is such that, it stinks so bad that no matter what God does, it isn't right. We always, see, we're talking about judging, and the incredible truth is you and I judge God. We judge His Word. Oh, I don't believe that verse. That verse was, here's a good one. Come on. Let's dispensational. We don't like that verse. Let's dispensationalize it. That verse was for the olden days. In another dispensation. Oh, glory. Let's see. Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word for this dispensation." Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm trying to demonstrate we all hate the Word of God, and the proof is we won't live by it. It's only a question of how... See, some of us hate it less than others, and so it seems like we really love the Word of God. In other words, if I won, I won the championship by default. Got me? The other team didn't show up. All right? So I'm trying to tell you, some of you think you can pick and choose the good fruit, but you miss the whole point. The tree either has good fruit or it has bad fruit. You don't get to go to a bad tree and pick and choose. That's what he's saying. You may see an apple tree with a few bad apples on it, but that isn't what he's talking about. You know, a few apples with worms. No. If the rest of the apples are big, that's still a good tree. And that's good comparison anyway. Some of my beliefs and some of my walk, some of my days are kind of wormy. Okay, you know what I mean? All right, is that fair enough? But still, if you come long enough, I'm going to give you enough of God's Word that you're going to get some good fruit. Okay, and if I don't, it is your responsibility to get up and leave and go find a man of God that will give you enough Scripture. See, we've already read enough Scripture tonight that you should be protected when I go wrong. Verse 19, "Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire." See, in other words, listen. You say, "Well, why did he throw that?" See, some of you just think he's throwing things out. No. We're talking about judging. And so you and I, see, and he mentioned false prophets. So what should come, David, what should come to your mind when he tells us there's a bunch of false prophets and they're hard to spot because they look like sheep, smell like sheep, walk like sheep? But the Scriptures teach that when they talk, it's the voice of the devil. How do we know? Okay. Well, and also, wow, there's false prophets? David's trying to raise his hand over there. He says, "Whoa, tilt." First question, how do we spot them? Will they look like wolves? Huh? Trap. I can spot a wolf. It's those sheep's clothing that bother me. Okay, Floyd, I got you. It's fruit. I got to go by the fruit. False prophets? Well, wait a minute. What's God going to do to those false prophets? If there's false prophets going around, why doesn't God do something about it? See, here we are. We're judging God. Right? What are they doing around? God tells us in Deuteronomy 13 that one reason He lets false prophets live, hang around, and give false prophecies that actually... Sometimes he'll let them give prophecies that really happen. And he tells us in Deuteronomy 13, it's so you can see your own heart. Will you listen to them and follow them even though you know they taught you something different from what I said. If you hadn't got your mind made up about this, you listen to me, some man can come in here some night, do some great miracle, and you say, oh, a sign from God. And then he says, okay, I have a new revelation from God. Everyone take off your clothes. Well, he did a miracle. What are we going to do? You're going to do what God's Word says, or you're going to sin. But there are people looking whose faith is in signs and wonders. Some of you Pentecostals and Charismatics in here right now, your faith isn't in Jesus, it's in signs and wonders. And I speak in tongues. Are you ready? Brace yourselves. Some of you don't believe what God says. You won't believe you're saved unless you spoke in tongues. And you sure aren't going to let your friends off. In other words, you won't believe that God said, anyone that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You won't believe that. You want a sign to prove that you're saved. But Jesus said, it's an evil and adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. In other words, why don't you just take Jesus on His word? I would think that the problem with that is it takes faith. Oh, not that. Yeah, see, yeah, that, you know, but real faith. No, see, so God says, okay, Floyd, right. So one of the reasons He allows false prophets to suck air longer than we think they ought to is for Him to use them as a tool in His hand to show us our hearts. See, there's things you can come up and tell me. Tom, you could get a word from God to come to me as some of the prophets did the kings in the Scriptures. And He comes and tells me, there's a wickedness in your heart, Floyd, and here's what you've done. God wants you to repent. I can't see it. I won't believe it. No, sir, I'm not that way. This is just not the way I am. I'm a better man than that. I'm a better Christian than that. So God lets something happen in my life, maybe uses a false prophet. And all of a sudden, now something happens, and I can see what I wouldn't listen to. Nevertheless, we have the right to know what's going to happen to these guys. In other words, the subject is judging. So I need to know. Well, maybe, you know, if there's enough money in it, maybe I'd like to be a false prophet after all. So God warns us. And not only is He warning, He is teaching us about His integrity. Russell, we need to know. Well, wait a minute. Is God a just and righteous God if He allows false prophets in the flock? Look, when I read these verses, I could tell that they weren't just false prophets out there in a mountain in Colorado, you know, up on a peak, that these false prophets are in the flock. Well, what kind of God would let that happen? And He says, well, as a matter of fact, one that's going to judge them. Well, how is He going to judge them? So you see the point I'm getting at? We should wonder what's going to happen to them. So God gives us this verse to tell us. So that we don't have to, you know. Remember, the idea of judging, for me to be able to judge you, biblically the idea is, Larry, I've got to be able to discipline you. That's judging. Ultimately, you judge your children's actions and you discipline them. If you're in the church, in a real body of Christ, the pastor and the leadership have to discipline. If you've got a member, here's a deacon that doesn't believe the Scriptures, it's time to discipline him. If you've got a member that's fornicating, it's time to discipline them. If you've got a member that is just flagrantly gossiping slanderously about people, and we know it, we've examined it, we have two or more witnesses that have testified, credible witnesses, Matthew 18. Well, then we go to them privately. Then we take two or three more. Then we bring it up before the whole church if we have to. Okay? Now, you don't see that happen very much. And moreover, you'll see it happen even less when many of the people that need discipline aren't even saved in the first place. So when they're disciplined, they bring a lawsuit against the church. Now, boy, they've nailed us now. Now we have a choice. We can obey God in discipline or disobey because, after all, money's involved. Ron, are you listening? I can tell you are. Bill, you see what I'm saying? And so God, listen, to follow. Whoever said Christianity was supposed to be easy? Someone lied to you. You see, it only works if you depend on Jesus. You're just not going to make it. There's just not enough in you to make it. So God, now, this verse speaks to us concerning the righteousness of God, the character of God. See, we could think poorly of God for telling us He's going to allow false prophets. But then He tells us, nevertheless, don't let my patience fool you that I'm not righteous to bring judgment. I'm slow to anger. I'm slow to bring judgment. But boy, when that starts happening, there is no way to stay it. You can look at scripture after scripture in the Old Testament, where I would have done it much sooner, wouldn't you? Man, I wouldn't have put up with those Israelites. You know, it'd say they were 40 years drifting away from God. I'd have nailed them in 6 months. And then I start thinking, whoa, is that what I wanted to happen to me? Right? I'd have nailed them in 2 days for not following God. God says, how about you, sonny boy? Is that the kind of relationship you want with me? You know, judge not lest you be judged the way you're judging. Be patient with them, Lord. Extend great mercy and grace to them, Lord. You know, thank you, Floyd. You're finally beginning to line up your thinking like I think. And see, I won't do that. Listen, I won't do that for you, Bill. In other words, I will not do that naturally over you. But when God says, boy, I'm going to deal with you the way you judge. Oh, whew. You know, soft steps now, eggshells all of a sudden. But lay it on him, Lord. You know, do you see? Now that's the fallen nature. The fallen nature wants mercy for me and judgment for you. It's only when we walk in the Spirit, when we follow the Spirit of God, that we see that it's right that God be merciful, even to you guys. And you're saying, have you looked in the mirror? I'm thinking, boy, is God patient to be merciful to you? Right. Exactly right. So yes, the subject is judgment, and God shows us what their ultimate end is. Hewn down and lectured with a high school counselor. Hewn down and turned over to the psychologist. Hewn down and cast into the fire. You know, it's a loving God that will warn you how bad the judgment is going to be. It would be wicked of God not to warn us how bad it's going to be. Wherefore, in other words, look, how can we know? He's warming us up on this asking and seeking. He's given us some basic answers. And the idea is, there's a lot more where this came from. Ask, seek, knock. Now, notice once again how what children we must be to God. In verse 20, I would have sworn he's already said that. Edgar, did you notice? I'd have sworn he already said that. I can read. I've got a college education. Let me tell you something. When God repeats, it's because He knows we missed it. And number two, it's for emphasis, to make sure we understand. And so, very sheepishly, I have to tell you that... See, it'd be nice if in all your Bibles it was repeated, but mine, since I'm so spiritual, well, the verse isn't even there in mine. Do you see what I'm saying? Floyd, he catches on so quick. It isn't necessary for Floyd the Magnificent. But Vicky, it's in mine too. He knew I would miss the point, so he underlined, he accentuated, he underscored. It's by the fruit you'll know them. See, we don't want fruit. We want them to walk in the room with the words, false prophet embedded on their forehead. And God says, yeah, but then you don't need to depend on me. You don't need to seek me for wisdom and counsel. And you, I am trying to put you afraid of giving bad judgment. And therefore you won't try to do it on your own. And therefore you'll come to me for it. Now, where you have to be brave is when God gives you, hey, when you make a fruit inspection, and God shows you it's bad fruit. Now comes the courage to not let your own mind or Satan talk you out of it by saying, well, this it wouldn't be Christian. You know, I'll just sit here. Listen. My presence in a church where I'm known, to sit there and listen to or put up with things that I know are biblically bad, wrong. I don't mean the preacher's got to be right on every point, you guys. I haven't brought a message like that yet. Larry, if I'm not bringing them, I got to give the other guy some. Come on, man. What do we say? We're Texans in here. What do we? We've got an old saying in Texas, and with the rodeo here, you ought to know what it is. We got to cut them a little slack. But there's one thing in cutting people slack. But when that slack comes up where they're telling us Jesus isn't deity, the scriptures aren't the word of God. Da 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 da. You know, you just go on and on. Hey, slack cutting ended. The gate is straight, and it's narrow. In other words, now they have narrowed the gate on themselves. We can spot the fruit. At last, I can spot the fruit. I mean, even Floyd caught that one. Okay? Well, then there's time to act, and that takes Christian courage. You say, well, I don't know if I've got that kind of courage. Great. You need to depend on Jesus for it. You say, but I don't feel it now. Good. The problem isn't here now, maybe. You see what I'm saying? In other words, when do you need that kind of courage? When the problem comes up. When do you give your kid the ticket for the plane? 6 months in advance? He'll lose it. He'll never find it when he needs it. You give the kid the ticket right before he gets on the train, right when he needs it. In other words, that's what you and I need to do. To count on God to be Jehovah Jireh, the God that comes through, even if it's at the very last moment, Abraham. Okay? Not everyone. Now, subject, what's the subject of the verb? What's the context? Judging. Oh, but here's a man that comes in and says good things about Jesus. He must be, listen, false prophets in sheep's clothing always say something nice about Jesus. They have to get us nodding our head in agreement. Have any of you ever heard Garner Ted Armstrong, a false prophet? You start listening to him, the first 15 minutes, you won't disagree with the word he says. He'll come in and say, mothers are wonderful. Everyone should be behind motherhood. God bless the American flag. You know, and I mean, he just goes on. And you know, for 15 minutes, it's going to be hard to disagree with the guy. Of course. Of course. And by the time he's got everyone agreeing with him, nodding their head, then he slips his false doctrine. And everyone's head is so used to doing this, they don't stop and go. They suck it all in. Okay. Now listen, this is so important. What I'm about to tell you now is so important. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, some of you, you must rightly divide the word of God. God will say one thing here and say it seemingly he will contradict himself somewhere else. But as I've already shown you tonight, it isn't a contradiction. It's a different context and a different setting. So you're thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That no man calls Jesus Lord but by the Spirit of God. Yeah, but the context when you read that is talking about saved people in church situation, you know, that no one would call Jesus Lord except the Holy Spirit had revealed that to him. In other words, of your own intellect, you'd never figure Jesus was Lord. Only the Spirit of God can reveal that to a person. But in other words, you've got to compare that thought to this. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. In other words, we're talking about judging, and he's showing us that false prophets, false teachers, lost people can say good things about God and still be lost. I was in a situation, teaching at a bar. Had a bar, the only place I could get. Came in, as it were, and laid the six guns on the counter and said, I'm going to preach. It wasn't like that. We rented the place, but it was a pretty bad place. But it was easy to get people, unsaved people, to come to that bar to hear the Word of God. It was really easy. We had people get saved almost every week. And the bar was pretty full that day. And there was an archbishop. He wasn't a Catholic. It was an Armenian archbishop. And they have a deal with the Catholic Church where the Catholic Church will honor his position. But he was born again. You know who he is. And I was teaching on blood covenant. And I made the comment that a marriage was a covenant. And this very dignified, wealthy, dressed woman with, I mean, hey, a Neiman Sachs girl if I ever saw one. Fine, expensive jewelry. Her hair, listen, I mean, first class. A lady obviously with, quote, culture and breeding and savoir-faire. You got it? Leaped to her feet when I said a marriage was a covenant. And I'd been teaching what covenant was about. She leaped to her feet and said, "That's a lie!" Just like that. You know, it's kind of like belching in the face of the queen. No, it's kind of out of place. Do you understand that, that was an abnormal behavior for this woman? I knew something. How many of you know? Did any of you, do you know what I know from that? The moment she said that, I knew something. That woman was divorced without scriptural grounds, wasn't she? See, didn't you guys, oh, Floyd, are you judging? Mm-hmm. Her own words. Let the cat out of the bag, too. We knew exactly what it was. Well, this archbishop was there. And I said, and I'm going to tell you, it's hard to maintain your decorum under situations like that, too, you know. And I got a grip on myself pretty quickly and said, "Well, yes, ma'am, actually, a marriage is a covenant. Now, if you'll just sit down and let me finish, when it's over, I'll be glad to talk to you about it." So she looked away, and when the moment she looked away, I caught this archbishop's eye, who I didn't know real well, but had talked to a couple of times, and gave him the eye, is, "Don't let her out of here before we get to her. Block the door. I got to talk to this girl, you know, because I knew something else. That woman wasn't saved. I wanted to talk to her." As a matter of fact, turns out that her son had gotten saved in this ministry, and many of you know him, so that's why I can't tell you who it is. And he comes, well, he came a lot more before he got married and moved down to Galveston. But he comes in here a lot, and a lot of you would know him if he walked in. But it's his mother. He'd been praying, "Oh, God, save Mama," and then she embarrassed him right there in front of everybody. He was there, poor devil. Well, we got to her afterwards, and here's what the archbishop did. He said, "Can you say Jesus is Lord?" She said, "Jesus is Lord." He looked at me and said, "She's saved, let's go home." You see, he had a scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. It's a wonderful scripture. But it isn't the only scripture. The context didn't apply to the situation. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." You say, "Oh, but Floyd, some of these people, they say Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth..." See, Christianity is a doeth. You say, "Well, what do you mean by that?" Look at it. Continuous action. Oops, it's an F. Do it. You say, "Do you mean never failing?" No, that isn't what it means. It means it's your normal practice in life. It's the way you normally are. It's the way you really are, except when you screw up and get in the flesh. Where he says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Now observe that Jesus doesn't say they lied. I want y'all to hear this. Some of y'all will follow a false leader, a false prophet, a false teacher, because you see a sign. Gosh, you could follow the Antichrist based on that kind of doctrine. Come on, gang. You say, "Well, why did God heal somebody if the man wasn't a real man of God?" Because the object is, look, you're not supposed to be coming to the man to be healed. You're supposed to be coming to God to receive a healing. So God could have mercy and heal you, even though the man was lost. Look, Moses sinned. His sin was so great in the eyes of God, God didn't let him enter into Canaan because of it. Do you remember? He was told to speak to the rock, but he struck it twice. All the people were literally dying of thirst. The leader sinned. What did God do? Did he let the people die of thirst because the leader was a jerk on that day? No, he slaked their thirst, bringing a gusher out of that rock. In other words, God will meet the needs of the people even when the shepherd is sinning. And that's why you have to listen. You judge the message, and if it's from God, you ingest it and live by it. But since you don't know what most of us are like anyway, you better stick with Jesus. He says, in your name we've done wonderful works. Then will I profess to you, I never knew you. Observe, he did not say, you used to be saved, I used to know you, then you screwed up, and I kicked you out. What can any of you read beside? Can anyone read besides me in here? This is a, you know, here's a test. I didn't ask you what your doctrine was. I said, well, look what it says. Then will I profess, I never knew you. Never a moment of spiritual intercourse where he went into them and brought them into him. Yet they called him Lord and did wonderful works, even cast out demons. You say, you mean the devil cast out demons? No, no, no. Only God cast out demons. But God cast him out even though the guy involved wasn't even saved. Why? Mercy on the demon-possessed person. Don't forget, God looks for excuses to be merciful. Because if he didn't, beloveds, none of us would ever get any. Okay? And I said us, not you. Us. Your teacher. 24. All right, now listen. Finale. Quick finale. What we're about to look, subject judging. And now God is going to show us, watch this, you're going to love the finale. Two world views and the result of those two world views, the result of good or bad judging. Everyone has to make a judgment about the gospel of Jesus. Everyone has to make a judgment about the person of Jesus and the claims of God on our lives. And we're going to see it right here. Here's the result. We're going to see, dramatic for us, the result of judging God's word, God's claims. Therefore. See, therefore tells us, again, it's another therefore. He's therefore enough in here to show us that the whole thing is a continuous teaching. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. Doeth. Oh my goodness. Do you know what this doeth? That's the second doeth. There was a doeth up in verse 21. What are these doeths? Oh, beloveds, that's fruit. See, in verse 15 through 20, we were learning about fruit inspection and judging fruit. How can I tell about fruit? Fruit is a doeth. You can say you love the Lord. You can call Him Lord with your mouth. But if you're not following Him, if there's no doeth, see, the good fruit is we're doething. It doesn't mean we're building a bigger church. It doesn't mean, you know, that we're reading our Bible every day. It means we're following Him wherever He leads us in. Whoever hears these sayings of mine. So that's the problem. A lot of us only hear the word but don't do anything with it. How many of you have observed Jesus is teaching the same thing that James did? Look at this. Look at this verse. Everyone says, oh goodness, James is teaching something different from the gospel of Paul. Good grief. James, Jesus is teaching the same thing. James never taught anything different. James is his brother. And more ways than one when it was all over. Whosoever, look what he says, hears these sayings and doeth them. Acts on what you hear. It's the exact same teaching as James chapter 2. Glory. They're not teaching something different from Paul. It's a different way of looking at the same truth. You're saved by free and it's grace. But if you're really saved and you've really had a new heart, Well, we'll be able to tell by your fruit. You'll do it. And I'll do it. You say, yeah, but sometimes you don't do it so good. Don't worry about it. That's what the Holy Spirit's there for. He's the disciplinarian. Okay? I will liken him to a wise man. Here's the first worldview. Who built his house on a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house. It fell not. Why? It was founded on a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, second worldview, it's just God's opinion. Oh, that's nice for you Christians, but that's just y'all's opinion. They've got a worldview. You hear me? Some of you in here may have that worldview. Every one of us had that worldview at one time. I sure did. I didn't get born again until I was 36 years old. He shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. It fell, and great was the fall of it. Whoa! Did anyone notice something? A major doctrinal point. It doesn't make a fig what your worldview is. The winds blew and the storm came. Did anyone see this? This is not Tulsa teaching. Copeland never heard such as this. He doesn't perceive such as this with his wicked teachings. I wouldn't even sit down to eat with the man. That's how wicked I consider his teachings. What Jesus said, any of you got a red letter? Who's got a red letter Bible? Has anyone got a red letter Bible? Would you raise your hand? Good. Everyone else that doesn't, look around. This is Jesus' opinion, not mine. Jesus said, if you commit your life with your whole heart and build your house on the solid rock, the winds, the storm, the whole shooting match is coming. The only difference is your house stood. But the storm and the wind and the rain came anyway. So what is this? Some of you are so shocked in your lives when storms come. The boss says, sorry, pink slip. Oh, but I claimed it and named it and blabbed it and grabbed it. No. That's what they taught you in Dallas and in Tulsa. But Jesus said, it's a storm. Now the question is, do you believe that's the only job in the whole world? Oh, they're laying off everybody. Yeah, now's where Christianity meets the road. Now we found where you live. Oh, it's easy to have ethereal Christian thoughts on doctrine. Yeah, but you lost your job. The doctor says your child is going to die. The doctor says your wife is going to lose her leg. See, now, if Christianity doesn't stand up to that, it isn't worth anything anyway. The question is Jesus enough? Not is money and the power of your tongue and faith a force? That isn't what Christianity is about at all. Jesus promises you storms. And He promises you He will never leave you nor forsake you in it. And so what He showed us there was this. Both of those men had to make a judgment concerning God. One man made the right judgment, and all hell broke loose in his life. But in the end, the house stood firm. The storm ended, and the house was still there. Listen, you've all got storms. I want to tell you, they come to an end. Listen, perhaps for the first time in your life, you really will understand the last two verses. And it came to pass when he ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. First of all, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's quite a teaching all the way back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. But I'm going to submit to you that most of these guys also perceived that this whole chapter was a unified teaching. You say, how do you think that, Floyd? Because he's a much better teacher than I am. I'm sure he got it over.